Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools.
For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown.
Through its Fed Talks series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools.
This is John White.
And this is Craig Gears.
And this is Fed Talks with John and Craig. Welcome back, everyone. This is John White here with Craig Gears.
Hey, John. And
so we are back with our final episode of our first podcast series on equitable services with Ms. Sean Owen, our state ombudsman. Sean's been with us for the last few series and sharing with us a lot of information about equitable services. And Craig and I have learned a lot. I don't know about you, Craig.
But I'm really excited about this one, John, because yes, this is talking about the ombudsman. I mean, so who would not want to be called an ombudsman?
So we're very happy that our ombudsman is here with us. And this is her chance to share with us this new role in Georgia, what you've learned and what we are learning from you about this new role, which was required by ESSA. So our first question, Sean, by the way, good morning. Thank you for being with us. What is the purpose of an ombudsman?
Well, I have a few things here, and then we'll move forward with the follow-up questions that I'm sure you gentlemen will have.
We're writing them down.
Yes. Is to help ensure that private school children, teachers, and other educational personnel receive services equitable to those in public schools, that the state agency works with the, so I have to make sure that I'm working with the LEAs and working with the private schools to oversee the protocols and the provision of equitable services under each one of the programs under Title I and Title VIII. And I serve as the primary point of contact, responding to and resolving any complaints regarding equitable services that we receive under the ESEA complaint procedures.
So you are...
It's a lot.
It is a lot, but you're here to help both the private schools and the public schools make sure that the intent of the law is really carried out.
So my focus is equitable services and making sure that the students in the private schools, that the teachers in the private schools are receiving equitable services in a timely and meaningful manner.
And I think we shared in an earlier podcast that your office actually is now collecting a lot of documentation that is required under the law that the public schools actually submit to us showing that they are reaching out to and working with the private schools.
Yeah, so a lot of what was handled by the LEAs, they're still responsible for, but we actually collect. So my office actually collects the initial consultation forms, and that's to make sure that the LEAs are reaching out. My office also collects the additional forms that go along with the ongoing consultation and the affirmation of services, so that we can see and we collect those a couple times throughout the year to make sure that the LEAs and the private schools are working well together to make sure that the delivery of equitable services.
If there are private schools or anyone really who wanted to see any of the forms for, you know, they're just curious maybe about their public schools and, you know, how many private schools are participating in that district, could they essentially reach out to you?
Yes, they can reach out to me. They're posted on the Ombudsman website under federal programs, which is gadoe.org, and then we have federal programs in the Ombudsman site. So I house the forms, I collect the forms, I oversee the agreement process to see if there are any issues that are taking place, which hopefully they're not, as well as work on improving processes, protocols, streamlining some of what we're doing, making sure that the private schools have a voice as well as the LEAs. So as we standardize processes across the board, we're taking into account both the private schools and the LEAs, since it's really their foundational working relationship that will make or break, you know, what's taking place.
And you know what? I didn't even think about this. At the very beginning of all this, we should have said congratulations to Sean because she's just in the month of December reached her first year anniversary because, of course, under the law, all states had to identify their ombudsman in December of 2016. So
thank you.
Congratulations
on your first year. But that's an interesting question, Craig. Yeah. Well, it results in an interesting question. So in your first year... Mm-hmm. What are one or two things that you've learned about your role and about what's happening in Georgia?
I've learned that it takes a lot of collaboration. It takes a lot of listening. It takes a lot of understanding of federal programs to make sure that you truly are delivering equitable services in a timely and meaningful manner. I've learned that you need to make sure that all stakeholders are at the table, that we obviously develop processes and protocols and forms as the state educational agency, but as much input as we can get from all of our stakeholders, the better processes will develop. And I've learned a great deal from listening to the private schools and their unique needs and challenges and what they need from us, what they need from the LEAs, and just to make sure that they have a voice in the process.
So it's been a busy year, I know. So what are some of the key structures that you've put in place? I think we've talked a lot about them, but give us a little summary again.
Yeah. So we have our initial consultation forms that we have to collect, but also we've tried to, again, make sure that there's agreement, because anytime you read about ESSA and the equitable services, you're going to see agreement. The goal is to reach agreement, and agreement means that both parties are coming to the table and they're willing to sort of flex to make sure that that both needs are being met from both sides. So we've developed and improved our processes, our collection methodology. We're constantly working to try to make sure that we're enhancing some of the protocols that we have in place to better meet the needs of our students. Also to try to bring the stakeholders to the table. So through the Committee of Practitioners, which we have, through specific being invited to the private schools and the LEAs attending some of their initial consultations to see what they've done, just getting a better sense of ways that we can improve things and support our private schools and our districts as we look forward to the next school year.
You know, in one of the prior podcasts, you talked about relationships and relationship building. So is that something that you can talk a little more about what you saw over the last year?
Yes, I have seen when you have great relationships in place, then things go extremely well. If there are some challenges there to the relationships, it makes the delivery of services much more difficult. Making sure that you're willing to listen to both sides, making sure that you're willing to sort of look at everything through the lens of that child and of the teachers whose needs may be served, and basing everything on that. I think, honestly, if everybody comes to the table, it really does not matter where that child goes to school. At the end of the day, they're all our kids, right?
Right.
And so
excellent.
If everybody just comes to the table, the best districts I've met come to the table with the belief that these are our kids and we're going to do everything within our ability to meet the needs of those students. And that's the foundational core of everything that you do.
I think congratulations to you, because I think obviously the intention of putting these things into the newly revised law was that there needed to be more effort and better services provided to private school students. So I think over the past year, I feel comfortable saying that we really have made some progress. I mean, we are moving in the right direction. Not
right.
That there's not a lot left to do, but I definitely think
there's more that we can continue. Although, do you have colleagues in other states that are experiencing similar growths that
yes,
you are?
Yes. Well, in some, you know, they've come on at different times.
Oh.
They all have different levels of experience, different backgrounds. So it is a very unique position where you really are trying to make sure that you're a liaison between the private and public school while also overseeing the delivery of equitable services, because we're also responsible for monitoring those services to make sure that they're actually being implemented. So yes, it's every state and territory, by the way. They're all in different areas.
Yeah.
I think Georgia was ahead of the curve because, you know, we brought on, I came on much earlier in the process than some of the others. So I think in doing that, I had the opportunity to really start developing some relationships with some of our private schools and our LEAs through this new lens and this new role, and then have great plans moving forward to, again, bring everybody to the table, because there are some unique challenges. If you look at Metro the metro districts and they need to bring in tutors, then it may take a tutor an hour and a half to get 5 miles down the road, depending on traffic. Well, then what does that lead to? Well, it leads to a shortage of tutors because nobody wants to be in traffic for that long. So we have some unique challenges there. We have some unique challenges from the perspective of a private school that may work with 5, 6, 7 different districts and have to have ongoing consultation with all of them. So I think in this role, one of the things that this will allow me to do is bring everybody together, including our federal programs folks who have been key and pivotal at all, you know, at all times, because they have the core foundational knowledge and have actually been implementing equitable services and providing technical assistance for years. So I think as part of this, I think Georgia will certainly lead the nation in how we are delivering equitable services, how we're evaluating them, and then also how we're including all stakeholders as part of the process to better serve the needs of the students.
Okay, so to wrap up, are there what are a few goals that you have to make this process more meaningful and effective moving forward into your second year?
Yes, yes. So I want to, I've heard over the past year some of the challenges that the private schools have, some of the challenges that our districts have, and I think by bringing everybody to the table, we can actually help facilitate. Because remember, again, Georgia is local control, so it's not that we mandate or dictate. There are certain the law has to be followed, but there are different, you know, levels of that as far as the level of control. So we want to play a role where we're basically bringing everyone to the table so that they can have a voice, so that they can decide what works best for them and the unique needs of their district, the unique needs of their students and teachers, the private schools, so that we can actually, we can improve processes, we can improve equitable services, we can improve the delivery of those services, we can streamline things, we can enhance what we're doing, and anytime we can reduce work while enhancing services, that's a win-win for everyone. So we have a lot of opportunities moving forward, and by being in this role and then also utilizing our federal programs experts, I think that we can truly sort of, we can set the standard for the rest of the nation.
So Craig, I wonder if any of our listeners out there are private school members who may not have been coordinating and want to get in touch with Shawn, you can always contact her at our website, at our email address at federalprograms@doe.k12.ga.us, and she'll be able to definitely get in touch with you. You can also just go to the DOE website at godot.org and look for her website and you can contact her there.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank you because I think this was a really great series to start with, because I bet there are a lot of people who had no idea that children attending private school can actually receive supports and services through their public schools implementing federal programs. So
absolutely,
that's awesome, but it makes sense.
Yes,
their parents are taxpayers.
Their students,
yeah.
Yes.
And if they need the services,
yeah,
we're
yes,
going to help them.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Shawn.
Right.
Thank you for being here. We
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you for the time.
Okay, everybody, for our next series, Craig is going to give you a highlight of what's coming down the road.
I think what we'd like to do is focus our next series on the Title IV Part A grant, Student Support and Academic Enrichment. So we'll have Nathan Schultz, who's the program manager, come and talk to us so we can share a little bit more about what that program is. We encourage everyone to join us again, and we look forward to talking.
See you next time.